Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. We were honored to celebrate our nation's 250th birthday in Washington, D.C. at the Great American State Fair. The Moms for America podcast hosted a live interview on the National Mall with Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins on faith, farms, and freedom. All right, folks, I'm just going to just give you a little quick introduction about Moms for America. We are reclaiming the culture for truth, family, freedom, and the Constitution. Well, I think I see the incredible woman of the hour here. This is one of my favorite mamas. In fact, she has been a part of Moms for America. We've had a chance to sit down with her. Let me just tell you really quick. Today, we are going to be joined by Secretary Brooke Rollins. She is the 33rd United States Secretary of Agriculture. She's the second woman in United States history to hold this role. She's an incredible lady. She's a bold leader. She's a mom of four. And I love her deep faith and commitment to America. Welcome, Secretary Rollins.
What a joy to be here. Oh. I think this is my third trip over here today. And there are two more before the night is over. So really glad to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I kind of feel like this is, you know, really a party. This is your party out here. I mean, agriculture and in a world's kind of state fair. This is amazing.
I know. So it's just such a full circle moment. In 2018, we were talking about America 250. I was in the first Trump administration, and we didn't think it would be us. We thought we'd be, you know, two contiguous terms, but we started mapping out what we should do to celebrate such an incredible milestone in American history. So this was one of the ideas back almost 10 years ago. So now to be here, to be head of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, to celebrate state fairs and rodeos and livestock expositions, it is really a dream come true.
I mean, talk about being in your element.
Yes, it's a great country.
Oh, so this is, how is the week going so far?
Well, it's been wonderful. I mean, I'm losing my voice, which means we've been very busy, but today is Wednesday. We've had about 150,000 people through the fair already, but we're literally just getting started, expecting a lot of traffic this weekend, of course, and then we go another 10 days, or I guess a week after, but it's going so well. What a joy to get to celebrate this incredible country.
So along with you being here every day, I heard about the rodeo, and are you riding the horse in the rodeo? Come on, girl.
I am riding in the rodeo. Talk about all dreams coming true. Who gets to have a rodeo on the National Mall for the 250th birthday? But President Trump made this all happen, and I just couldn't be more grateful.
Yeah, how surreal is this? I mean, we're looking at the Ferris wheel, which is beautiful, and then the Washington Monument, and then behind us is the Capitol. I mean, this is just got to be surreal for it to all be actually happening.
Yeah, I it is. I mean, I there are no words for how joyful and just humbling it is to be alive right now at this moment in American history. I've said this before, so this is nothing new, but we had 1776, which we're, of course, celebrating right now. We had the 18th battling for liberty against the greatest tyranny. 1860s, Abraham Lincoln, we were battling for the soul of America, who we really were going to be. 1920s had another, you know, battle in the world and on the world stage. And then I think today, and I think our country is at a crossroads. And I think President Trump winning every swing state in the popular vote and putting America first. For me, it's not Republican or Democrat. It's are you pro-America or are you not?
Right.
Do you love freedom or do you not?
Amen.
Are you for free markets or are you for your communism?
Yes, that's right.
It's up or down, darkness or light.
That's right.
Tyranny versus liberty. That's the question today. It's not Republican or Democrat. It's freedom or tyranny. That's what's ahead of us.
Amen.
That's what we're
deciding. Amen, Secretary. And you know what, too, as we're talking about this today, I mean, everything has been politicized, and it shouldn't be. Like we say, all of these issues are mom issues. I mean, freedom, parenting, the future. These are future generations raising world leaders. This is not political at all. This is the option that we have as moms here. So speaking about moms, I'm going to kind of go through these pretty quick for you. So how do you manage? I mean, your resume is amazing. If you don't know, it is amazing. I mean, talk about going from being an attorney to probably founding one of the most incredible think tanks in the country, AFPI, and being a mom of four in all this. How did you balance it all? Because we're all trying to figure out how to do that. Tell us the secret.
Well, it's God, I think, yes. First and foremost, obviously. You know, now that I'm on the back end, so my four amazing kids, Luke, Jake, Anna, Lily, they're all here in Washington right now. They're wandering around somewhere.
Oh, good. All four of the kids are here?
Yes, they're all here. They are.
And your hubby?
And he's here, too.
Okay.
Oh, no. We love America. We're so excited. See, they're 16, 18, 20, just turned 20 and 21.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of feel like I'm on the back end, although you obviously never stop mothering and parenting.
Right.
But now that I am where I am and I can look back and see the choices that I made along the way, certainly not perfect, but putting the kids first, coaching the softball teams, being the head room mom, while also having the opportunity to fight for my country.
I love it.
I always knew if it ever, and my kids knew this too, if there was ever a moment that they felt they didn't have the best of me, if they felt like they needed me more, if I wasn't there, they knew I would step back in a second.
Right.
And so it was almost a month to month for the last 21 years. But I would guess if they were here with me, they would say, and I've heard them say, that they never felt like they weren't the priority, but they believe so strongly and were so proud of the work to save America that they felt like they had the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And when we were here in the first term, they were 8, 10, 11, and 13.
Oh, wow.
So when we came for the first term, I wasn't planning to come. It's kind of a long, boring story I won't get into. But eventually was persuaded for good reason, to go ahead and come and join the first Trump administration.
Yes.
And so 3rd grade, 5th grade, 6th grade, 8th grade, they all came with me. We homeschooled. I mean, what an amazing city to homeschool in.
Can you imagine?
It was, you know, for our history lesson, we're going to get on the train and go to New York and watch Hamilton. Very different than Texas, I'll say. And we knew we were going back to Fort Worth, but it was great. But looking back, I think my kids, I've heard them say that those couple of years here in those very formative years, 8 years ago, were some of the best of their childhood. And so they have very vivid memories of coming to visit me in the White House almost every day. Very vivid memories of coming down here to the mall weekly. Very vivid memories of the Museum of the Bible, you know, once
incredible
a week.
Incredible experiences.
It was amazing. And so what I will say is the balance is real. But the prioritization, God, I think, has given me a real peace in knowing that I'm going to do the best I can at everything, every door he opens. The single most important thing are those kiddos. And now at the back end, they love God. They love America.
Amen.
They love Donald Trump. They love Jesus. I mean, something works somewhere.
Amen.
But
mine too.
Really proud
Thank
of that.
You, God.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that every parent's dream?
It is. It is. It's really the greatest gift of all. And at the end of the day, I think that when I look back and I get to meet Jesus, and I'm so excited about that whenever that happens, he'll say, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. And if he asks me, what are you most proud of? All of this is amazing, and I'm so proud of this work, and I do believe we're saving America. But those four kids times 1,000 is my greatest achievement.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And us as moms, we can only, we so say yes in our hearts because it is motherhood. And I bet, actually, as you look back, motherhood really prepared you for your leadership roles, right?
Well, there's no doubt about that. There is nothing like being on a Zoom call, filling out a soccer form, Venmoing the church contribution, the tithe for the week, having the president call on my cell phone, and being able to smile through it all. I mean, there really is something about a very very good skill at multitasking.
Right.
And I think that's what motherhood teaches you more than anything. Yes.
What about that saying, if you need something done, ask a busy mom? And it is one of our gifts, really, to multitask and just not to get frazzled and just to keep pushing through. So congratulations to those kids. Let's talk a little bit about your mom, right? You were raised by a single mom, you and your sisters.
Yes.
And we talk so much about motherhood and the influence that moms have. Your mom really was very influential and was really a strong woman. Tell us about the impact of your mother. We heard about you with your kids. What about your mom?
So my mom also is on her way to Washington, D.C.
Oh, yay. Come on, Mom.
Yes, she will be here in a couple of hours. She is very excited to come video her daughter. Even though I'm 54 and she's 80, she's still walking around with a video. Now it's on the phone, not the actual camera, which is hilarious. But I guess that never ends for some moms. But my mom is amazing. She raised us all by herself. I was the oldest when I was 5. My sisters are twins. They were born. And my dad was, they divorced very soon after. And my dad was not really a part of our growing up. And he was, you know, he was around the city where we grew up in. So people, I often talk about it. People think, oh, did your dad pass away? No. And my dad, you would love him. He's so much fun. And my sisters and I get our big personality from him. But he wasn't really involved in our upbringing at all, financially or supportive or otherwise. So my mom really had, she had such a mountain to climb up.
That is. I mean, think about that. Yeah.
No financial resources. Wow. She worked at the public library in my little bitty town of Glen Rose, made $5 an hour. She was trying to raise 3 little girls on $5 an hour.
Yeah.
She just never complained. She eventually opened up a flower shop on the side. So a lot of people hear me talk about how I grew up in a flower shop. But that was why, because $5 an hour for 40 hours a week, y'all can do the math on that. That's what, $200 a week. That wasn't really enough to support 3 little girls. So she started her flower shop. I grew up in the flower shop. We did have some land. We lived out in the country. So that's where we kind of raised horses and baled hay and stuff kind of on the side too. But she taught us how to change oil, our own oil in our cars, so that we could save money. We didn't have to go take our cars
survival,
have oil change.
Yes. Right? All the survival.
We built fences. We baled the hay on the tractors. There was no air conditioning, and this is in Texas, and I think we can all appreciate that right now, right? I grew up without any air conditioning. It made me very tough. But she was amazing. She taught us to dream really big, but to always appreciate what we're given, no matter what it is. Material things don't matter. And to love really, really hard, and to treat everyone with the greatest respect. She taught me to believe in myself in a way that I don't know that it would have happened in any other environment.
Right.
But because I felt like I could do anything, based on the oil changing and the fence building, all of the above, I do think that's a big reason that I'm here today.
Well, amen, because moms are the greatest influencers. I mean, dads are the providers and the protectors, but it's the moms that are nurturing, they're teaching, they're raising their kids moment by moment and making all those decisions about them. And I had the same thing. I mean, my father, my mother, they just kind of said, the world is yours. America is the land of hope and dreams, and it just, there's no reason to be stifled. And so you can see how that has played out in your life. So what a beautiful testimony that is. Let's talk about your faith, Brooke. If I remember correctly, when we sat down before, I think at one point you were actually thinking of going into the ministry.
I grew up in a very small town. It's interesting. I didn't grow up. My mom did an amazing job. She was surviving though. So we certainly believed in God. We absolutely went to church. Not every Sunday, but a lot. But it wasn't until I felt this. I went to Texas A&M. I always felt God was walking alongside me, always. I hadn't really delved into Scripture. I didn't quite understand. I was probably like a lot of Americans in that I had it in my heart, but I didn't quite go way deep in the Word. And that happened when I was in college, and I sort of fell in love with Jesus. And all of a sudden, I understood that there was this great commission. I read about it. I prayed about it. I felt it in my heart that what an extraordinary country we live in. and what an extraordinary God and the Savior that God sent to live among us.
Yes.
And who was a carpenter and who changed the course of the history of the world and came from the most humble beginnings. And that's who God used. I just, it imprinted on my heart in such a massive way when I was 18, 19, 20. So I did. I had this period of time where I thought, well, this is what I want to do full time is I'm going to go to the ministry. I'm going to go to seminary. I'm going to go into the ministry. I maybe want to be a youth leader or a pastor. I just didn't know. And then what I realized, what God eventually put on my heart was, you will always be in the ministry.
That's right.
But it's just going to look a little bit different. Now, when he put that in my heart when I was 20, if you told me 34, this is my ministry, again, it would be hard to believe, but this is America where anything is possible. But yes, I just feel so convicted. This morning, we have our cabinet Bible study every Wednesday morning in my office at USDA.
Beautiful.
And it's really incredible. We've got some of our first Trump administration cabinet members. Dr. Ben Carson was on this morning, and a few others from our cabinet here. And we just feel the conviction, and we feel the calling, and we feel the drive to meet the moment, and to continue this great work to do for those with the least among us, is what we're called to do. And I feel like that's why I do what I do. Why I'm so convicted for this work.
After this short break, more from the Great American State Fair with Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins. She talks about how God led her into this role and why the local farmer is so important to America. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit HerzogFoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at HerzogFoundation.com. The Great American State Fair was an unforgettable highlight. Patriotism was on full display, woven into every moment. With the United States Capitol as the backdrop for our interview, it was a perfect setting for a special conversation. All right, let's continue my interview with Secretary Brooke Rollins.
When you look at Washington, this is a difficult place a little bit, what you're in, to live out your faith. But thankfully, the administration has been so God-fearing and promoting religious experiences and Jesus and rededicate 250. How has that been for you to live it out in Washington in a leadership role like this?
When we left the first White House, I'll never forget, we walked out what I thought would be the last time ever.
Right.
That was the night before President Biden was inaugurated. And I had had a lot of Bible studies in the West Wing. I felt very protected. I know there are a lot of people praying for us. But I also knew that it wasn't finished, that the work to put America first wasn't just not finished. It was just beginning. Mm. And I didn't know what that looked like. And so
you
we started.
You had that feeling. You just
I
knew
just
it.
I just knew. I could tell. I could feel the presence. And so and studied a lot of scripture and prayed a lot about it. And it was just so clear to me that there was so much more work to be done. And so that's why we started the America First Policy Institute, that we wanted to take that the winds of the first administration and lower taxes, less government, a secure border, peace through strength. All of this is biblically based. But what I wanted to do for the first time ever, there were a lot of great conservative organizations that were based biblically, but most of them were more one or two or three issues, life issues or social issues, et cetera. I wanted to start an entire organization that was founded on biblical principles, but that that covered every single policy issue. Right. What does the Bible say about a secure border? What does the Bible say about school choice and education opportunity? And it's all in there. We wrote the Biblical Foundations. That was one of the very first things we did at AFPI, January, February, March, April of 2021. When the Biden team had moved in, that's what we were frantically working on. Even before we announced AFPI, we were talking about the biblical foundations and getting ready for that. And so building then over those 4 years to prepare, whether it was 2024, 2028, 2032, 2036, but the next time that an America First candidate won the election and came back to the White House, we wanted to be ready for that. And so drafting the executive orders, drafting the agency plans, getting ready to meet this moment, but infused through all of that was prayer and faith and the underpinnings of scripture. It was in all of it. So for me, it is the answer to so many prayers to see the infusion of faith into this moment in American history with this president, very unlikely president from the faith perspective, but one that has done more, I believe, for faith than any president in our lifetime. And to see it happen right now is extraordinary. But God works in remarkable ways. I talk about my four kids, and we've talked about this, and how they all are so faith-filled. And you see that. It isn't just my kids. You see this across the college campuses all over America.
Right.
You see the reemergence.
There's revival.
Our revival and our beautiful friend Charlie Kirk, you know, rest his soul. He was such a motivator and a driver for that. And his legacy lives on and continues today
in
that.
It sure does. And this is why we love doing the podcast and these shows, because you are inspiring others. One testimony inspires another testimony. And we know that courage is contagious. And so that's why it's just so wonderful to hear these positive moments from moms, all of you that are watching, all of the dads that are out here. This is all of us impacting our children. Those are the next world leaders. And if we can cover them with Jesus and faith and just the hope of tomorrow, there's nothing like that. So
yes, the best.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about family. We've talked a little bit about faith. Can we talk a little bit about farms? Yes! All right. Tell us about the cattle ranch and the farm that you raised on in Texas and how that has impacted you today. Wow, you are just, you couldn't have been made for anything better with your background. I mean, tell us about just your background, because I don't know if everybody realizes that, you know, you're on the ranch and on the farm.
Yeah, so my grandparents owned a pretty significant row crop operation in Minnesota, and that's where my mom grew up, and I spent every summer there, corn, soybeans, et cetera, and that was remarkable. And then back in Texas, I mentioned we didn't have much, not much at all, but we did have a little 40 acres. We raised animals, livestock, baled hay, and then, of course, went off to Texas A&M. I was a major very big into both 4-H and the future farmers of America, and continue to be very much with those organizations today. But growing up with the livestock, with the horses, but it is that God was preparing me with all of those experiences for this job.
Yes.
And it's funny, when I was in the West Wing the first time with Trump won, I said, I had no idea, but building a think tank in Texas, the Texas Public Policy Foundation, working for the governor, working in all of these issues for almost 15, 20 years, and during that time, moving Texas toward freedom and less government, and by the way, cutting poverty rates in half while we did it. California, more government, increasing poverty rates. Like, there's actually data that proves, biblically, less government helps those the most with the least among us. But building in that, and then having all those experiences, I used to say God was preparing me for the first Trump administration and running the Domestic Policy Council, because we had done all of it, everything the president had focused on in the election, drain the swamp, you know, for every one new rule, there's going to be two go out. It ended up being a lot more than that. Securing all of that we had worked on in Texas for years. So I felt, wow, I'm really prepared for this West Wing, and was so joyful and honored to be a part of that game-changing first Trump administration. But then when we didn't stay for the second term, that's when we started America First Policy. And I said, oh, okay, now I get it, God. Yeah. You were preparing me, A, to be in the first West Wing, but really your plan was to prepare me to, with others, start this new organization, this 100-year plan to save America. And I know, because I have the state experience, I have the West Wing experience, I worked for 3 years in Trump 1. Like, now I understand. I'm going to pull all these incredible patriots together with our partners out in the field, and we're going to battle and we're going to win for America. So that's why I thought, okay, now I'm done. Thank you, God, so much. Well, then the president decides to run again and win, and all of a sudden I'm the Secretary of Agriculture. But now,
which you
I'm
never
like,
saw coming.
Which I didn't see
you
coming.
Never
but
saw
now,
that coming, right?
Now I look back and I'm like, oh, yes. Now I get it. Because the policy issues today in agriculture, in rural America, are literally existential to us preserving the republic. And I don't know that I fully understood that until I took this job. The fact that we have offshored so many foreign countries, including foreign adversaries, have purchased some of our best prime farmland.
Right.
They have purchased some of our best agriculture companies. They have consolidated. We're losing family farms by the thousands every single year. This trend has to change, or we're going to be reliant on China and other issues for our food supply, which means we will lose freedom as we know it. So this is how important this is, this role right now. And I, it's a hard job, but I just couldn't be more proud to do it.
Yes. I don't think anyone understands the connection between farming and food and freedom. Do you think that this is something we haven't talked enough about? You are now. I had never heard of anybody talking about the importance of farming and how this is really, food is freedom. If we don't have our homegrown food and our farmers and our ranchers and our cattle, we become completely crippled, right?
In 2023, it was the first year in American history that we imported more of our food than we sent out. And so think about what that means, right? We're reliant on China, reliant on Brazil. We're reliant on Russia for our fertilizer. We're reliant on Chinese companies for our seed. There's so many complexities to the system, and America has been asleep. And, you know, when the president came down the escalator in 2015 and really changed the game, I mean, he talked about putting America first. We're too reliant on foreign countries. As conservatives, you know, there were obviously some out there that said, yes, I've been saying that for years. But most Republicans to that point had sort of leaned into the free markets, you know, from America, no matter what the other country's markets were. Free markets are the best. And if we're getting cheaper goods from China, that's actually better. And this is what we need to keep doing. Well, while we began as Republicans to sort of wake up and understand when Donald Trump came down the escalator.
We did need to wake up, by the way.
100%. Yeah. And he started talking about how our manufacturing bases had all been hollowed out and how pharmaceuticals had all been offshored and how we don't make widgets anymore in America.
We lost
and
American all, of a sudden, all the American industries.
All
gone.
American industries. But what we didn't talk about then that we're hopefully talking about more now is we also lost a lot of our food then, too.
Yes.
That we were not just offshoring pharmaceuticals or widgets. We were offshoring our food supply, and that has to change.
Yeah. And I know, so true. And I know that moms, the moms that are watching in here, I mean, we are really awake about our food quality and the ingredients. And for the Maha moms, I mean, Moms for America, food is so important to our homes. What comes into the kitchen, what goes on the table is extremely important. And so you're working with Secretary Kennedy on a regular basis to protect our food and enhance our food and make sure that our food is safe.
Well, that's the other part of this is we've talked about national security and being able to feed ourselves, and that we don't have a country if we're not able to feed and fuel ourselves. But the other part of this is making America healthy again. And the chronic disease epidemic is real. We are the most unhealthy developed country by far of any country in the world. 3 out of 4 of our military age ready kids, which I think is 18 to 22, can't even pass the military readiness test. That's another national security issue. Obviously, if we don't have enough kids going into the military that are ready. But also the flip side of that, to pay for that on the back end with Medicaid, Medicare, and the government healthcare system, it is stunning how much taxpayer dollars go to our healthcare system. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the chronic disease epidemic. We've got to do better. Bobby Kennedy and I flipped the dietary guideline upside down.
A round of applause for that. Yeah. I mean, come on. Let's flip that pyramid so we eat real food.
Well, I hope it's amazing to everyone here and slightly discouraging. Why did that take so long?
I don't know.
Like, why is this a thing where eating real food is a new idea? Like, it is really, really
shocking.
You
know why? Because we've been sold a bill of goods.
Yeah,
that's right. And we've been programmed.
Yeah, no, that's right. And making America healthy again for so many reasons is such a righteous and such a beautiful and such a scripture-based battle. And we are. I mean, we've already approved 22 waivers in the SNAP program. USDA runs the food stamp program.
You're doing great work over there with us.
Yeah, and $100 billion program that the federal taxpayer, the taxpayer pays for through federal taxes, that 10 to 15% of that money until last year when we came on, went to pay for junk food and soda. So not only are taxpayers funding the purchase of junk food and the supplemental nutrition program for, you know, those who may need a quick nutritious, a little bit of help to get food on the table. But not only are we not funding that, then we pay for it again on the back end with these chronic health diseases. So it was a long time coming. You know, not only did we approve those waivers, we'll continue to do so with the states, but we also changed the stocking standard. There are 250,000 retailers in America that take the EBT card, the food stamp card, 250,000. So that's where they get they use the food stamps. A lot of those are convenience stores or bodegas or your corner 7-Eleven. And to date, before we came, it was you had to have 12 healthy items. If you were going to take the EBT or the food stamp, you had to stock 12 healthy items. But the way that the USDA, until we got here, defined healthy items was a jar of jelly could be a fruit.
Incredible.
Or a bag of, you know, beef jerky could be
potato chips could be potatoes.
Well, yes. So we changed that, and now you have to have 28 healthy items, not jelly, not potato chips,
gums aren't fruit.
Beef jerky, yeah, exactly. Right. Not fruit snacks. That you have to have real food or you can't take the food stamp. And then the third leg of that stool is the fraud. All the work the fraud, I know everyone's watching it on TV and reading about it on social media. It is real. And we knew it was. The way our political system is set up, you're elected, you frantically get your team in place, and then all of a sudden it's the midterms, you run for re-election, you frantically get your team in place, then you run for election again. But the beauty and the blessing of a Donald Trump term one, a 4-year pause and prepare, and then a Donald Trump term two, is that we were ready this time, and that's why you're seeing so much progress.
And of course, it couldn't have been any better for President Trump and this administration to be here for the 250th of the year. This is amazing. So Freedom 250, we're talking about freedom, 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 freedom. How do we maintain and fight and purposely help this struggle for freedom so our children and our grandchildren can have a place where they can live free and dream the American dream? Take us home on this one, Secretary. Come on.
You know, President Trump was a very unexpected president, right? He'd never even spent the night in Washington, D.C. until he was inaugurated. He'd never run for political office. And I want to use him as the example to answer your question. What President Trump has taught us since he came down the escalator 10, 11 years ago is that you have to be bold, you have to be unapologetic, you have to be fearless, you have to be courageous, you have to be willing to sacrifice everything. And as we look at what we're celebrating 250 years ago, it is in that same vein. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, Caesar Rodney, I mean, all of the founders, they were bold, they were fearless, They were unapologetic. They never stopped. They battled every day. They were willing to sacrifice literally everything for this concept of self-governance and the idea that we could govern ourselves. But it is, as we now have experienced, we have been at the very brink of losing our country forever.
Yeah.
At the demise of America. And every great civilization has peaked and then has begun the demise. And many people thought that was it for us until Donald Trump became president in 2015, 2016, and of course 2017 he took office. And that is the big takeaway. We don't have to agree on everything, but we have to agree that liberty and freedom is worth sacrificing and dying for.
Yeah.
Your time, your treasure, and your sacred honor. And we can never stop battling. And we've got to be courageous and bold and fearless and run into the fire, run into the arena, and never, never stop fighting for this great country.
We need a great picture with this Capitol behind us. All right, let's give it up for Secretary Rollins. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless. All right.
A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.